Good morning, and welcome to Rosedale United Church. Thank you for coming. My name is Mary Annabelle. I am a longtime member of this congregation and its choir, as well as being a student in the Licensed Lay Worship Leader program offered by the United Church of Canada. As always, I am grateful to Kristen and the congregation here at Rosedale United Church for their support in my studies and giving me this opportunity to lead worship. It is a privilege. Joining me in leadership this morning is our organ scholar, Oscar Hodgson, and our cantor, Mina Lukic. Kristen is away in Montreal, celebrating her children's birthdays. Her kids were all born exactly 1 week apart in the month of February. Sebi's birthday was last Sunday, Nicholas's 22nd birthday is today, and Emma's 20th birthday is next Sunday. Kristen is grateful to be with Nicholas and Emma this weekend, and she'll be back for the beginning of the season of Lent next Sunday. Rosedale United is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. We gather to learn, to grow, and to serve. Announcements from the church. This week is the beginning of Lent, and you can remember to make pancakes on Tuesday. And you can also find several churches that are offering the imposition of ashes on Ash Wednesday, although we will be offering the imposition of ashes next Sunday. We are gathering downstairs this morning after the service to make sandwiches for the Out of the Cold program with members of the Social Ministries Committee. Many hands will make light work. And there are a few more here than I thought there would be. If you can lend a hand, please stay and help us as we help the Out of the Cold program at St. Luke's. The flowers in the chancel today are in memory of Jim Spence, always in our hearts from his loving family. May our loving and blessings go with Wilma and the whole Spence family today. I invite you to stand as you are able, in body or spirit, and join in our call to worship. This is the day that God has made. Rejoice, rejoice, hallelujah. This morning is God's morning. It is the morning we praise God in worship. It is the morning God will receive our confessions, our prayers, and our offerings. It is the morning we meet Jesus on the mountaintop. It is the morning we notice Moses traveling up the mountain to experience a special closeness with God. This day is God's day. Sabbath rest. It is the day of renewal for the week of Christian service ahead. This is the day the morning star rises in our hearts. For this morning, this day, this life is God's. Thankfully, it is all God's. And please join me in hymn 315. All the hymns are in Voices United, the big red book, not the one with spirals. And we're singing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Oh,
And I invite you all to extend a greeting of peace to your neighbors, whether they are a friend or stranger. The peace of Christ be with you all. We light the Christ candle this morning to remind us that the transfigured Christ is also the transforming Christ. In this time of silence, let us enjoy the peace and serenity of this sanctuary and feel God's presence. Holy God, we come to this place, this beautiful church, or a virtual space, a quiet space in our homes, not because you are to be found nowhere else, but because here we have no other task than to be in your presence. Here we tune our senses to listen, our spirits to discover, our hearts to feel, and our minds to wander. May the glory that you touch this hour of our time, may it be for us a transforming moment, bringing new light, new hope, new courage, and new commitment to follow in the way of Christ. In the silence of our hearts, we name the confessions we carry with us, the prayers from the bottom of our hearts. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to say together, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, God loves us, God forgives us, and God sets us free. The stories we'll be learning about today take place on a mountaintop. People often describe the deep and life-changing experiences in their lives as peak experiences. So our theme question to you this morning is, what are some of your own peak experiences? We invite you to a time of silent contemplation as Oscar plays.
Let us pray. O God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear what you are saying to us today. Amen. The first reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up onto the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Look, Aaron and Hur are here with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the Israelites. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. May God bless to our understanding this reading from the Holy Scriptures. Our second reading is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
And now we sing together hymn 104, "We Have Come at Christ's Own Bidding."
Thank you.
I invite Shauna forward for the third reading. I know it's unusual to have three Bible readings, but these all connect and make the story of the Transfiguration more alive to us.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Herein is wisdom. Thanks be to God.
Now turning to the prayers of the community. Holy God, you have claimed us as your own, called us to carry your light in your world, and sent us to be ambassadors of your realm. Keep showing us what is good and right and true. Shine in us and through us when you lead us into places where hurt and brokenness have overshadowed your glory. We lift before you the people of Ukraine, Sudan, and Gaza. It is difficult to fathom the suffering that takes place in those far-off places, and we send our prayers and our love there. Shine in us and through us when you lead us into places where people are struggling against fear and despair. We lift before you those who live in the midst of violence in their countries, in their homes, and in their communities. And this morning, we remember especially the town of Tumbler Ridge, British Columbia, the scene of such horror with significant loss of life and serious injuries, and a long road back to wholeness and healing. May your love touch all affected people and bring hope and healing to the town. Shine in us and through us when you lead us into places where people struggle through illnesses of body and mind. We lift before you those who are especially in our hearts today. You dwell among us, redeeming us in the midst of our trouble, moving us ever deeper into your love, summoning us to the fullness of your purposes for this world. When the way ahead is unclear, turn us again and again toward Jesus, toward his resurrection power, and toward the light of his love. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. And now for our response and offering. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God, as a blessing for the world. During this season after Epiphany, our sacred gesture involves water. You are invited to visit any of the water basins around the sanctuary or the font at the front. Touch your hand to the water and then touch your hand to your forehead. You might use the moment to recall your baptism, if baptism is a part of your story. You might use the moment to set an intention or to honor a prayer you are holding within your heart. You might use the moment as a time of refreshment and a reset. You are also invited to give an offering to the life and work of this church. Our offering box is located at the back of the sanctuary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mina and Oscar. That was beautiful. I'm always a little humbled when reading the gospel and the Bible passages on a Sunday when I'm taking the service. It's quite a daunting thing to do, and today seems particularly daunting as it is Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration Sunday is usually for the Protestant church on the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. In the early church, when we followed Eastern Orthodox calendars, it was on August 6th. But that happens to be the day that the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, and we decided to follow the Lutheran calendar for this important feast day. Lord, let these words be inspired by your word, and let them point always to Christ. Send your Holy Spirit to us, that we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. This day marks the end of Epiphany, occurring as it does on the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, when Lent begins. The Oxford English Dictionary's definition of transfiguration is the action of transfiguring, or the state of being transfigured, representing a dramatic change of form, shape, or appearance. It implies metamorphosis or a change into a more beautiful or spiritual state. To prepare his disciples for his coming passion, Jesus' divine glory is revealed on the mountain. It highlights Christ as the fulfillment of the law and prophets, Moses and Elijah, and emphasizes listening to him as we descend from mountaintop awe into daily life. Like the disciples, we and our Christian brothers and sisters are called to carry the light of this revelation into our everyday lives. Jesus was transfigured. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. It was not merely his external appearance that changed. Rather, the light which transfigured him was shining completely from inside. The transfiguration was not the throwing away of the mask of humanity, nor did he cease to be human. It was the human Jesus who was transfigured. The face that was radiant was the human face of the human Jesus. He is pure light, and in him there is no darkness. He is powerful, the Son of God, who uses his limitless strength to save, rescue, and redeem. To become divine is not to become God, but to remain human, to be transfigured and filled with divine light. Transfiguration is not magic, but the destiny of all creation in Christ, to be transformed and filled with the divine light. Have you ever been afraid of the dark? No, I have. Many of us have had this fear at some point in our lives. Darkness can conjure up fears and nightmares, causing us to see things that are not there. We may feel more vulnerable in the dark because we cannot see the obstacles and dangers in our path. Complete darkness can be disorienting. Being in the darkness can make you feel sad, alone, or afraid. But there is good news. Jesus is that light that no darkness can overcome. It is fitting that the Bible uses darkness as a symbol for separation from God. According to Scripture, disconnection from Jesus causes us spiritual blindness, and we stumble through our lives like a person trying to navigate a dark, unfamiliar path. When we are in spiritual darkness, we struggle with our identity because we cannot see the one in whose image we are made. Perhaps it is this darkness that allows us to ignore the poor and mentally ill people whom we see on the street every day. In the past few weeks, I've heard many people say they hope these people have somewhere to go out of the bitter cold, but no one stepping up to offer help, like a hot cup of coffee or a sandwich, or dialing 311 to get help for them. These are all things you can consider as you go through the city. The good news is that Jesus can find us in our darkness. Not only can he find us, but he also has the power to chase away the dark, because he is light, brighter than the sun. As St. Paul wrote, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts, to give light of the knowledge of God's glory, displayed in the face of Christ." If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you're probably familiar with the mountaintop experience cliche, inspired by Moses ascending the mountain at Sinai to meet with God, in the words that Shauna read to us today. This concept is meant to describe a special awareness of God's presence and love for us. I'm sure many of us have had this experience at one time or another. It is a good thing when we do, but we also need to be careful in what we assume about such experiences. Specifically, we need to recognize that, just as the sort of communion Moses enjoyed with God was unusual, that heightened sense of God's presence is not our typical state of being. The event of the Transfiguration takes place on a quiet hill before three amazed disciples far from the corridors of power. It occurs at the margins, far from the metropolitan heartland, yet we should have no doubt that this is a story about power. It's a story which raises the question of where the real power lies in the world. It remains much easier to win a war than build a peace. The resurrection of a nation is a slow and painstaking business, as is the healing and mending of bodies and souls, the nurturing of new life, and the cares of the vulnerable and the frail. Such is the way of the cross. And as the Transfiguration affirms, the glory of God's Son is revealed for that one moment, so that we may walk through the darkness of this life with our eyes fixed on the light of his glory. Dr. Martin Luther King famously said on the evening before he was assassinated, "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anyone, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Disciples and believers are called to carry this light of its revelation into difficult, everyday realities. It highlights that the same Jesus glorified on the mountain is present in the suffering of the world. Genuine mountaintop experiences are good things, but not everything. What we need to remember is that God's presence with us is not defined by how we feel. He is with us even when we're not aware of his being with us at all. He is with us in our darkest moments, the ones we might call the valleys, those times when we are struggling with darkness and sorrow. Those times when we cry out with the psalmist, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you pay no attention in times of trouble?" In those moments, we have to remind ourselves that God is the comforter of the downcast, that he hears the cry of the afflicted, and no matter what our hearts may tell us, he will never, ever abandon us. God is with us in the valleys. He meets us there. Then there is the rest of life, when we experience neither the highest highs nor the lowest lows, when things are just flat, when everything is just kind of routine, and we might feel like we're running on autopilot. Bible reading is perfunctory. Prayer is too. Let's call those times the plains. These are the hardest moments of all for many of us. They are the times that require endurance and perseverance because they seem boring. The highs and lows offer exactly what the name suggests, and the plains are exactly that too. These times are an opportunity for us. They are meant for cultivating, to take what seems like an empty plain and transform it into a field, to till soil and plant seeds, to nurture our faith so that we might enjoy the mountaintop experiences and endure the valleys. God is with us here also as he walks with us through the plains and guides us with his unseen hand. I would like to share a sonnet with you, titled Transfiguration by the poet Malcolm Gite. The sonnet is drawn from his collection Sounding the Seasons, published by Canterbury Press, and it is used with his permission. On that one day where all moments meet, the daily veil that covers the sublime in darkling glass felt dazzled at our feet. There were no angels full of eyes and wings, just living glory full of truth and grace. The love that dances at the heart of things shone out upon us from a human face. And to that light, the light in us leaped up. We felt it quicken somewhere deep within. A sudden blaze of long extinguished hope trembled and tingled through the tender skin. Nor can this blackened sky, this darkened scar, eclipse the glimpse of how things really are. Because Jesus shines from within, we will never again have to fear the dark. Amen. And now we sing hymn 331, The Church's One Foundation, verses 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
And now as we go into a week full of light and full of dark, full of just plain times, go with the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the light of Christ transfigured for his people. And now we'll sing our song blessing, and we'll bless each other with hymn 298. The words are in the bulletin. Thank you.